Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have a great show today. This is a show I've been waiting for a number of weeks because I've been able to book a very fascinating CEO, a very interesting managing partner. His name is Mr. Charles Sidman. And Charles is the founder and managing partner of ECS Capital Partners. And let me tell you, they're doing amazing work. We're going to learn so much about investing in startup and growth companies today. We have so many people that watch the show and they say, Jake, bring the leaders on. When you find someone in your Rolodex that really understands a specific field, a specific space, we love it when you bring them on the show. So we reached out to Charles. He was kind enough to come on the show. I've only been able to book him for 30 minutes. He's so busy with what he's doing, but when it comes to early stage companies and startup and growth companies, he's developed this incredible expertise that allows his clients to actually invest in those companies in kind of an interesting way that we're going to get into. But Charles, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Pleasure to be here. I hold entrepreneurs in the highest regard.
Yes, you do. And it's great to have you on the show. Of course, you have a great professional service at the company, at ECS Capital Partners. But before we get started, because we have so many questions and so many people have reached out to me through the show and they said, hey, Jake, when you bring an expert in with these startup and growth companies and an expert in investment, ask these questions. So I have so many questions for you. Before we get started, pull the lens back to 30,000 feet and tell us about what you do at ECS Capital.
All right. Well, we focus on early stage companies, startups, growth companies. And they're really important to the world. All the world's economic advance comes from these startups. Most jobs come from these startups, taxes, improvements in the standard of living, et cetera. So they're really the economic and standard of life driver. We focus on the investment side of these companies. They need support, they need mentorship, and they need dollars. And investors provide both of those things, or all of those things. And it's really rewarding, it's important, but it's really hard to do. Most of the people listening to this broadcast probably have other primary occupations. They should get the returns and the rewards of participating in this asset class, but they're busy, let's admit it. They're doing their thing. And our job is to make it easy and rewarding for them to participate in this asset class while they do the other things that they're doing in their life.
So let's talk about it. Let's kind of break it down real simply. So here I am, you know, the CEO of .com Magazine. I'm running the business, but I want to invest in these early stage asset classes, these early stage companies, you know, because they represent an asset class that's really differentiated from traditional later stage venture capital assets in many different ways. So how does it work? Do I reach out to you and say, you know, I want to get a piece of this because I've heard, you know, what you're doing. I've heard the returns are great. And of course, you know, you're a leader and expert in the country, in the field.
Sure. Reach out to me. I have a website, which you can provide, Andy, or I can provide. And there's some introductory information there. You can hear me give all sorts of presentations and discussions. And then probably we'll have a phone call or a Zoom call. And you'll ask questions. I'll tell you more about it. If you're interested, I'll take you deeper and deeper. And in the end, if you want to do this, you'll write a check. You'll send it to me with appropriate legal, you know, paperwork and documentation and stuff. And then your job is done. It's my job is to make you money and make the world a better place while doing it.
I love it. I love the part about making the world a better place. And, you know, something that has come across my desk recently was a very interesting article about family offices. You know, there's a lot of family offices with high net worth individuals that really are looking for very well curated and proven early stage deal flow. And is that something you can help them with as well?
Absolutely. When they send me a check, a big check or a little check, I'm going to invest that as well as I know how, and my money is right as alongside of theirs. So if they make money, I'm going to make money. And if we don't, we won't together, but I think we will. One of our features is if they like particular deals that I put some of our money into, they can put more money into those particular deals based on my research and decision to do so. So that's a side benefit for the ultra wealthy folks and family offices of the world.
Yeah, I love it, Charles. How important is your investment criteria with regard to what's called the positive social impact right now?
Okay, it's very important. I have two primary criteria for making an investment. One is, as an investor, I am very aggressive. I want to make a ton of money for all of my investors and myself. And what that means is I think I can and I want to multiply their wealth by tenfold in 10 years. They give me $1 million. I want to be able to give them back $10 million in 10 years. So that's the investment angle. So I'm only interested in very promising, financially rewarding opportunities. But parallel to that, I only want to invest in things that make the world a better place. So some things just make money and they don't make the world better. They actually make it worse. I'm not going to touch those things. Other people can touch them. And I recognize that's a matter of personal values and judgment. And you know what I prefer, you might not, and vice versa. That's okay. But every investment that I make, one, is set to be financially rewarding, and two, will make me proud and happy that I participated in it. I can look at myself in the mirror every morning, and I can see the results around me every day.
Yeah, Charles, I love that so much. That's going to resonate with so many people, because certainly there are deals that make a social impact and certainly deals that don't. And you only look for the ones that not only make social impact, but can obviously make a lot of money. Now, let's talk about deal flow, because I would imagine you've got great connections probably with, you know, global angels, incubators, you know, accelerators, university ecosystems and the like. How do you stay abreast of all the deal flow? Because it must be a massive amount of information coming across your desk on a monthly basis.
Well, that's true. And that's one of my major jobs, is trying to stay as up on it as I can. And I'm highly collaborative. So I work with other groups, as you know, said, all the time. People sometimes approach me directly and pitch a deal to me, and that's okay. It's my preference, however, to piggyback and collaborate with other groups. And so in that way, my diligence really has three stages. One is I'm out there all the time looking for deals. And the first stage of diligence for me is a partner group, an incubator, accelerator, angel group, et cetera, has already looked at it, come to some conclusions. I can start with that. Then I'll do my individual or additional diligence. And it's usually, you know, much, much deeper in some ways than what other people do. And part of that is because of my technical background. I was a computer junkie at early age, and then I was a biomedical researcher for most of my adult life. So, you know, I talk techie with the best of them. And then thirdly, my investing style is to invest a little bit to get at the table, to become part of the family. And then I live inside the tent. And if I like what I see, some of my smaller initial investments turn into much larger later and later ones. So that's my three-stage process. And look, I miss some, but I see thousands a year. And, you know, I couldn't be any busier. I don't need additional deal flow. It's all around us.
Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, you know, you're an MBA, a PhD, you know, your experience is vast. I mean, I invite people to Google, Charles. I mean, you know, you've been in information science, biomedicine. I mean, you're an early computer, you know, entrepreneur. You're a tenured medical school professor and researcher. I mean, your training includes, you know, Harvard, public universities like the University of Cincinnati, and a lot of research. So when we think about it, And I'm thinking about your background and experience, Charles. I'm saying to myself, well, how did he get into this? I mean, what was the thing that kind of led him down this path? Because you have such a vast experience. What led you to this sort of specialty that now you become known for, sort of not only through the country, but worldwide?
Well, it's an interesting story. And I have to say up front, it was totally by chance. It was not planned. So I was on a sabbatical, which was one of the features of academic life. And I met this really fascinating guy, and I asked him what he was doing, what he did. And he had retired from a successful entrepreneurial career. And he told me he was an angel investor. I had never heard the word. And so I looked it up. I learned about it. And I was really drawn to it because this was an additional way to affect the world in a positive way. I had, you know, done research and I had taught and stuff like that. But here was a way of putting my money where my mouth is, so to speak. Making some good money at the same time. And so I was really drawn to it. And I did it for about 10 years, overlapping my academic life. And then finally I said, look, written enough grants, papers, et cetera. It's time for me to do this full time. And that was more than 10 years ago.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it started and here you are on the .com magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series talking to me. I'm honored. Now listen. This is great to have you on the show, Charles. Now, we have a lot of younger entrepreneurs, a lot of startup founders watching the show, a lot of people that are early stage business, exactly sort of what you're focusing on. So here I have you on the show. I mean, I'd be remiss not to ask you about what you look for, because we have a lot of younger entrepreneurs watching the show and they want to hear from someone like you what they're looking for. Are you looking for the great world-class team, the technology, the social impact? What's the most important things when you're looking at all these companies?
Well, you said it all. You got to have a service or a product. You got to have the background and the expertise to deliver it, formulate it, deliver it. You got to have a good team because the world is going to throw us surprises all the time. And we used to say in business school, where I also taught, that the business plan is the one scenario which we know in advance isn't going to happen. It's not going to work that way. So the people are really important. I also look for people who are aware beyond themselves. They're thinking about their customers. A great turnoff to me is an entrepreneur who knows his or her own thing backwards and forwards, but they're all talking about themselves all the time. We do this, we do that. I want to hear what they're doing for somebody else, their customer or their investor, how they're going to, make a difference to the world. And then, we'll do business together.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's so powerful to be in that position. And I'm sure sometimes you talk to someone or a company or a leader that is so enthralled with their technology and so excited about what they're doing that they forget the single most important thing that a company is about, which is servicing their customer. And how often do you hear that kind of a pitch and how does that drive you crazy?
I hear it quite a bit, and it drives me very crazy. But, I also try to provide more than just dollars. And, part of the advice or mentorship is to enlarge their, frame of reference and, try to teach them what will be in their best interest, to learn and practice.
Yeah, that's great, Charles. Are there certain areas, certain spaces, telecom or medical technology or pharmaceuticals or marketing and advertising that are really sort of exciting you right now where you see that there's going to be some game-changing sort of things happening in the future that you can get on now in this early stage environment to make the kind of returns that you're known for?
Certainly. And some high return areas I don't touch just because they don't, excite me. But what really excites me are the fundamental human needs. So that doesn't mean, more and easier shopping. It means health. Everybody needs and wants health for themselves and their loved ones. So I do a lot of diagnostics, therapeutics, devices, nutrition, etc. Another big thing is sustainability. We are consuming so much and so unwisely that we're destroying our planet. We all know this, and there are things that we can do to ameliorate that. Better use of energy, cleaner materials, less wasteful processes and stuff. So my two big verticals are health and sustainability and a smattering of other things. I mean, education if I could wave a magic wand, I would wave my education magic wand, and I would, you know, improve education. It's not just multiplication the kids need to learn. It's their place in the world, how the world works, their responsibilities in it, et cetera. I would wave a wand of education. So that's one of my minor themes. And
yes, minors. I love it, Charles. You know, in listening to you, what's coming across sort of my brain is that at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you're involved with something that has a positive impact. You want to bring more light into the world. You know, the world sometimes can be a dark place, and you want to bring light into the world. You want to light a match and light another match and light another match. And by the time all these matches get lit, the dark room is lit with a lot of light. Where did this idea come from? Did this come from something that you learned as a young child, or did this evolve more as you became an adult?
I think it's my early education. I got to give some credit to my parents, both of whom are gone, but you know, they stay with me. My education was pretty formative. I went to a rather rigorous classical secondary school, and I learned about making a difference. You know, why are we here? To me, it's to make a positive difference. And I read stuff that was written, you know, thousands of years ago, and I learned languages, and you know, that's really where I got this mission or orientation.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Can you think back, you know, when you were being raised, about maybe one or two lessons that your mom and dad sort of taught you about how to treat people and why it was important to make this type of impact that you're making through your investments in the world today?
Their examples were quite different. There were different personalities. And actually, I've written a scientific memoir or paper about my dad, which people can look up in the scientific literature. He taught me a lot. He was a psychologist. And so how you change behavior, and the carrot is always more powerful than the stick, and you have to respect the individuality and choices of the student or the person. My mom worked her tail off. She was an example, an amazing example. She set me into this private school education that I was telling you about that made all the difference in the world. It was her idea. So I give her credit.
Yeah, I love it. And that's great. And here you are today. You know, when we think about business and we think about the team, this is one area that we focus in on a lot at the .com magazine show. Because entrepreneurs, people with startup companies, people that are in early stage companies, we're finding now more than ever, even more than 10, 20 years ago, that the first question that someone's going to ask them when they invest in the business, it's not about the technology, it's not about the paying customers, it's about the team. How important is that team in your analysis of a company that you're going to invest in?
It's all important. It would be like a plane without fuel or wings. And all of my early diligence and even the later diligence is about really, in the end, evaluating that team, living with them and having the challenging conversations. And what if this happens? And what are you going to do then? And can I bring them to the point where they say, well, you know, I'm not sure. Let me think about it and get back to you. That's a positive mark for me.
Yeah, I love that, Charles. And of course, so many people are talking about jobs. They're saying, a lot of people are saying there's this debate about, you know, robots and whether they're going to remove all the jobs and what's going to happen to all the people. Let's talk about new job creation, value creation of new jobs, thus being economically important. How important is that in your investment criteria?
Well, it's not really a criterion. It's a natural result. You know, every time we help a company succeed and mature and prosper, that is new value and new jobs. You know, when I talk about financial return, we are creating something from nothing, effectively. A startup is nothing. You know, it's a napkin. And it's not like investing in the, you know, New York Stock Exchange companies. Those are already something, and you might make a good return, but ours are nothing to something. So value is being created, and you know, the statistics are there. Most new jobs come from startups and young companies. They don't come from the giants.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you look at the young companies, how often do they have their financials and their revenues all ticked and tied, or is it something that they need a lot of help with when you're talking to them?
It's not that they need help, but it's early on. I rarely invest in a company that is profitable yet. Very often they don't even have any revenues yet. They know that. They're not misleading anybody. They need all the help they can get to get there. Money help, mentoring help, et cetera. They're on top of it. They're driving their own ship.
Yeah, that makes sense, Charles. And of course, when we think about investing, there's a lot of grandparents and parents, for that matter, that want to have a nice investment account for their descendants or maybe even a charity. How does all that work with you? Because I would imagine that's an important part of what people are thinking about in today's world.
Right. Well, I'm going to start by saying diversification is all important because you can't put all your eggs in any basket, including, the one that I operate in. But having said that, everybody who has eggs should have some of them in this basket because it, of any basket I know, it's the most consistently high returning place to put some resources, some of your assets. And so everybody should do it. Now, legally, our country in its wisdom has largely limited that to wealthier people, accredited investors, although the doors are beginning to open a little bit. And I was part of that movement 10 years ago to spring loose the crowdfunding movement. It's coming. It doesn't yet compare with what the older style system, makes available. So a young person really will have difficulty investing in what I do directly, unless they do it through crowdfunding. An older person who has some established success, has a house, has a job, has a career, a company, whatever, they're often able to do it. Now, I don't ask for a huge amount, but they should put something here because I don't think anywhere else they can put their money, whether it's their house or, publicly traded stocks, et cetera, is going to multiply in the same way as this early stage.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, Charles, let's talk geographics. Let's go geography for a minute. Sure. Are there certain parts of the world that you're now seeing an uptick in entrepreneurship that maybe 20 years ago we weren't seeing? Are there certain areas that are sort of fascinating to you right now?
Well, there's a lot of fascination. Fascination is everywhere. But when you ask about geography, there's two kinds of entrepreneurship that I think we should recognize. One is technically based entrepreneurship, computers, biomedicine, that sort of stuff. That comes largely from the developed world that has the universities and, the accelerators and all that stuff. But there's another kind of entrepreneurship, and that comes anywhere there are people with wants and needs and opportunities. So, look at Asia, look at Africa, huge numbers of people. They don't have the standard of living that we in our country and our region have, but they're energetic and they're building stuff. Now, usually they don't build the first thing, but they can borrow, replicate, et cetera, and build some amazing enterprises that deliver amazing value. So even though they're not technological innovators, they are innovators in their societies. And I do want to come back and say, the word entrepreneur, it doesn't mean someone with a fancy degree or a high-tech company. What it means, it comes from the French, I believe. You take into your own hands your responsibility between your hands. You take your responsibility between your hands. So that applies to someone who's, farming in a more productive, novel way in Africa. It applies to somebody who's selling hot dogs on a cart on a street corner in an American city. These are not high tech, but they are entrepreneurs because they're taking their lives into their own hands.
I love it. And of course, you've only cut out a certain amount of time for me today. I have to get into entrepreneurship with you. We have a lot of young entrepreneurs watching the show that are in startup mode. They're an early stage company. And some of these younger entrepreneurs, they freeze in the frame once in a while. In other words, they hit a roadblock. They don't really quite know how to get around it or through it, or they hit a wall. What type of advice can you give, Charles, based on so much experience you have with early stage companies, for the entrepreneurs watching the show who maybe are facing some roadblocks that they don't know how to quite get through, or they've never experienced a pothole before, and they're kind of freezing in the frame, or they don't know where to turn. Can you give some advice based on your years of experience to those younger entrepreneurs on what it takes to get through those tough times?
Sure. Most of us don't realize how many resources and opportunities we have around us. And all of us do have those opportunities. So basically, the prime advice I have is don't try to figure it out by yourself. Others have been here, done that, and there's a huge amount of wisdom. Go to your local angel group. You know, these are people who have been successful entrepreneurs and have hung out a shingle. They want to help the next generation. That would be my first avenue. Incubators and accelerators are in many cities. There are virtual ones so that somebody in India can talk to a person in, you know, Arizona or California. There's resources around everywhere. And the worst thing is to think you're in it by yourself, because you're not.
Yeah, that's great advice, of course. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, I'm just sitting here and I'm sort of almost speechless, because I have to have you back on the show again. I want to get a little bit more into entrepreneurship. I mean, you've got these twin fiduciary mandates for your company where you want to, of course, provide maximum financial return coupled with this positive social impact. It's so powerful. It's just a great combination. I love it so much. We're going to bring you back on the show. We'll talk more about early stage companies and the way you look at it through your, you know, lens. I know you're looking out the windshield and not looking in the rearview mirror in your life and in your business, and of course, in your investments for your clients. So congratulations on what you're doing. I wanted to thank you, Charles. It's a real honor to have you on the show today. And thanks for blocking out some time. This has been fascinating. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure for me. Totally. And I look forward to our next interaction. So thank you very much. And all of the people listening, go get them.